You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. Today is Tuesday, January 2nd, 2017, and I'm your host, Lucas Hand. You can find my work on my website, clipsnation.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at Lucas J. Hand, and you can follow the Clips Nation blog on Twitter, at ClipsNationSBN. Today, I want to have a very brief episode talking about two recent Clippers games that we have not had a chance to talk about yet on the podcast because of the three-day weekend for New Year's. So, first, I'm going to talk about the Clippers' win on Friday over the Los Angeles Lakers, and then in the second part of the show, we'll get into their more recent victory on New Year's Eve against the Charlotte Hornets. So, welcome to 2018 with the Locked On Clippers podcast. Hopefully, we all have, a better 2018 than 2017. Hopefully, the Clippers have a better 2018 than 2017 as well. Obviously, a pretty rough year for them with the injuries last season, heading into the playoffs shorthanded, losing in the first round to the Utah Jazz, and then Chris Paul choosing to leave for the Houston Rockets in the summer, prompting that trade. So, hopefully, the Clippers have, and then, of course, leading into the beginning of this season with all the injuries they've had so far, but they've put themselves in a pretty decent position to feel pretty good and optimistic about what could happen in the months to come. So hopefully good stuff happens in the months to come. Now, getting into this game against the Los Angeles Lakers, this game was one of the lowest quality NBA games that I think I can ever remember watching. It was just so sloppy, so disjointed, so messy. It didn't seem like either team was playing with a great amount of focus. And the guys who had probably the best games, for the Clippers, it was Montrezl Harrell, who had 15 points and 9 rebounds on 7 of 9 shooting in just 16 minutes off the bench. For the Lakers, it was Larry Nance Jr., who had 16 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists on 6 of 7 shooting in 18 minutes. These are two guys who seemed to come in and thrive off of the chaos in that they brought energy, even if they didn't, they didn't get their team settled down in the way that, bringing in a veteran point guard would, but these two backup big men were able to come in and with their energy get some garbage dirty work buckets around the basket, offensive rebound putbacks, that sort of thing. But it was just a sloppy game. We're lucky that there wasn't any serious injuries. Austin Rivers left in the second quarter with a elbow contusion, kind of like a stinger in his elbow. He came back into the game, and then he left with a strained Achilles. Very fortunate that Achilles injury wasn't more serious, because that's the kind of thing that can end a season and potentially derail a career. But Austin should be back in the next couple of games. He missed the game against the Hornets. He's questionable tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies, so we'll see if he plays tonight or not. But even if he does not, he won't be out very long. So fortunately, the Clippers got out of that game relatively unscathed. They were able to get that win. They were up by 13 at the end of the first quarter. They ended up winning by 15. So kind of after that early jump start, and I think they were even up 17-4 or some margin like that very early. It was kind of just a stalemate, not really any big runs either way. The Clippers never blew it open. The Lakers never really made it competitive. Just ugly, sloppy basketball. Lou Williams had 23 points off the bench, but again, he only shot 4 of 14 from the field. Most of what he did was getting to the line, where he was 13 of 15. Blake Griffin had 24 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists. But, 6 of 15 from the field, a lot of times where he was missing shots around the basket, fighting for offensive rebounds, that sort of thing. He also had 4 turnovers. Kind of hard for me to believe that the Clippers ended up with 13 turnovers and the Lakers ended up with 12, because it felt like the kind of game where it should have been 19 and 18. Really sloppy game. But the Clippers are in this stretch that we've talked about quite a bit, where they have a bunch of winnable games against teams below them in the standings. So it started with Phoenix a couple weeks ago, and then they had Memphis, Sacramento, the Lakers, Charlotte, now Memphis again tonight. And it's just good to take care of business in these games, because the games are more difficult coming up. And this is the stretch where the Clippers were able to put themselves back into a position, to be in the playoff race. And right now they are in that position. If it wasn't for that one game they let slip to Memphis on December 23rd, then they would be right now 17 and 18 going into tonight's game in Memphis, with a chance to be 18 and 18 if they win tonight and actually reach the 500 mark. Not because they lost that game a couple weeks ago. They're going to have to push that goal a little further down the line. They've got upcoming games against Golden State that they're probably going to lose and all of that. But they put, you know, they are in a spot where they at least they were able to take care of business in this Lakers game and be in a position where now they can actually look at the playoff race and try to fight for playoff seeding going forward. From the Lakers' perspective, I wasn't really impressed with very much from their side in this game. I don't have a lot of notes to talk about on them. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope like threw the ball over the backboard. That was really funny. Kyle Kuzma didn't have a great game, just 1 of 7 from three. He had 13 points in 37 minutes. He's pretty bad defensively. Blake Griffin kind of got whatever he wanted. I think the Lakers are definitely hurt by not having Lonzo Ball and Brook Lopez available. I'm not sure that makes a huge difference. Just from what I've seen of the Lakers, even when they were healthy this year, they aren't a very good team. They aren't a very good offensive team. And it's, you know, Lonzo Ball, I like Lonzo Ball as a player myself personally, but it's not like he's been phenomenal enough this season that he's really a huge difference maker for them in terms of changing them from being a really bad team to a really good team. So that's where the Lakers are. It's good to get wins against these other lottery teams, and it's a kind of just the kind of game where Clippers have to take care of business. And we, you know, going forward, after they play Memphis tonight, their next six games: Oklahoma City, Golden State, Atlanta, Golden State, Sacramento, Sacramento. So, and then after that, they play Memphis, actually. So they've got a lot of playoff teams coming up. They only have a handful of teams against games against likely lottery teams. So only, what, Memphis, Atlanta, Sacramento, Sacramento, Utah, and Memphis again. So, yeah, so only a handful of games in January against lottery teams, a lot against playoff teams, and quite a few against very, very good teams. So the Clippers really need to take care of business in these games. It's to the point where I think a loss in a game like tonight against Memphis or next Monday against Atlanta could be pretty devastating to them, because every game really matters a lot for them with where they are right now. So I want to talk a little bit more, or I want to talk a little bit in depth about the Clippers' win on New Year's Eve against the Charlotte Hornets. But first, I want to remind you guys that the Locked On Clippers podcast is part of a big Locked On podcast network. And you can check out opposing perspectives from all of the Clippers' opponents before and after the Clippers take them on. So I highly encourage you to head over and check out the shows for Locked On Lakers, Locked On Hornets, and Locked On Grizzlies to see the other hosts, my counterparts' perspectives on these matchups against the Clippers. Now, moving into this Charlotte game, this I thought was a little bit of a better played game of basketball between the two teams, although it was very, very interesting. So what the first thing that stuck out to me from the very beginning is that the Clippers defensively put Juwan Evans on Kemba Walker and Blake Griffin on Marvin Williams, and the Hornets were very, very intent on using Marvin Williams as the screener in the pick and roll. And so what happened is the Clippers happily conceded that switch. They let Marvin Williams post up Juwan Evans, and whatever Marvin Williams is going to do from 8 to 12 feet is a pretty good result for you if you're a defense. He's just not that kind of offensive player. So it was very strange to me that Charlotte kept on going back to using Marvin Williams as a screener. He ended up only playing 17 minutes. He was 0 of 6 from the field, 0 of 3 from deep. Just did not do very much with the ball. And then the other thing is the Clippers started with Milos Teodosic on Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and the Hornets tried to take advantage of that by posting Kidd-Gilchrist up against Teodosic in the first quarter. Even on one of the possessions where Kidd-Gilchrist scored, it just is a kind of thing that you'll really take if you're a defense. You're fine with it when you consider that the other three guys on the floor are Dwight Howard, Kemba Walker, and Nick Batum. Anything that Kidd-Gilchrist is going to do is a good result for you as a defense. He's just not a very talented offensive player. Obviously, he's a good player overall, but just asking him to, you know, throwing the ball to him with a good matchup on offense and telling him go score is not a recipe for success offensively. So that kind of started Charlotte off on the wrong foot, and then the Clippers took a 7-point lead into the second quarter, and the second quarter was horrendous for the Clippers. They lost it 30-13. They just did not look like they were playing very good basketball. Charlotte was just getting everything that they wanted. The Clippers go into the locker room, down 10 at halftime. And then they come out with this phenomenal third quarter performance, and the Clippers win the third quarter 33-14. So every now and then you see one of these really one-sided quarters, right? 30-13, 33-14, whatever. But it's really unusual to see them back-to-back with like the roles reversed. So with the away team having an amazing quarter in the second quarter, and then the home team having an amazing quarter in the third quarter to kind of balance things out, that put the Clippers right about where they were, and then right about where they were after the first quarter. Those second amazing second quarter for Charlotte, amazing third quarter for the Clippers kind of canceled each other out. And then a pretty much even fourth quarter, which the Hornets won by 1 point, Clippers end up winning by eight. So it was kind of a quirky game the way those runs went. Probably a little less competitive throughout than you would expect from a game that finished 106-98. It was almost like Clippers up by a decent amount, then huge Charlotte run, Charlotte up by a decent amount, huge Clippers run, Clippers up by a decent amount, and they held on. And it wasn't really, you know, kind of the back and forth game that you'd expect from a game that was this close. Now, the Clippers overall didn't have a ton of great performances. They kind of had some issues with their guard rotation, with Austin Rivers being out. So what Doc Rivers chose to do is start Juwan Evans, which I think is fine. I don't have any problem with starting Juwan Evans in this game. And putting him next to Milos Teodosic, keeping Lou Williams in that bench role, and then using Sindarius Thornwell for spot minutes. I think that's totally fine. I'm on board with it. The problem is that Juwan Evans is pretty foul prone. He picks up a lot of fouls. And he picked up two early fouls in this game, forced him out. He comes back in the third quarter, picks up another one, forced him back out. He ended up only playing 14 minutes in his first start. He didn't have an altogether horrible performance, but he had four fouls in 14 minutes, and it really limited, you know, kind of tied Doc Rivers' hands, especially when Sindarius Thornwell came in the second quarter and really didn't play well. And Thornwell has been so inconsistent that it's pretty understandable that Doc just kind of turned away from him and stayed away from him. So what we ended up seeing was a lot of Lou Williams. He played 37 minutes. But then also a lot of CJ Williams, who's been starting at small forward, sliding over to shooting guard, and then Wesley Johnson picking up extra minutes at the small forward position. Not necessarily something that's great for the team. Wesley Johnson hasn't been playing great. Wesley Johnson in December shot 25% from the field and 8% from deep, which are both like atrociously bad numbers. But you just look at the options out there on the floor, and you know, it's what Doc Rivers had to go with. And Wesley, even though he did not have a very good individual game, he just did enough to let the other guys around him succeed. So Doc Rivers basically at that point is just looking for like a warm body to play on the wing. Wesley was one of three from the field, missed both of his threes. He did have 7 rebounds in 26 minutes, which is pretty uncharacteristic for him. But otherwise, he had 4 points, you know, a steal and a block. Pretty invisible for most of his time on the court. But the Clippers did go +5 in those 26 minutes that he played. So he did just enough to kind of be a placeholder, let CJ Williams slide over to shooting guard, and, you know, let the Clippers be successful in this game. Going forward, though, I think using that lineup, you know, I mean, sliding CJ Williams over to shooting guard is no big issue because he kind of does the same thing at the shooting guard position as he does at the small forward position. He's solid on defense, but not great. He can shoot, but he's not a great shooter. He's well-rounded. He'll run the offense. He'll do his job. The bigger issue comes when you actually put Wesley Johnson in at that small forward position, because Wesley Johnson, even though you got away with it a little bit in that Charlotte game, you might be able to get away with it against other bad teams as well, but into games against teams like Oklahoma City, you basically need to be getting more production out of that slot than giving those additional minutes to Wesley Johnson. So hopefully Austin Rivers can get back soon and the Clippers can get back on track. If not, I do think that they're going to need to get more out of Juwan Evans. I think Juwan Evans is probably the higher upside play in those minutes than Wesley Johnson, although clearly the lower downside because he can get into foul trouble and make those rookie mistakes. But probably the answer has to be moving away from Wesley Johnson, at least in the short term while he's missing shots. But given his track record, I expect him to do better than he did in December. Like, he's not an 8% three-point shooter, but I'm not sure that we can totally rely on him to get back to being a rotation caliber player again this season. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. Thank you for listening. Once again, I'm your host, Lucas Han. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, you can hit me up on Twitter at LucasJHan. You can email me lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. Make sure you follow the Clips Nation blog at clipsnation.com and follow along on Twitter at ClipsNationSBN. This is Lucas Han signing off for Locked On Clippers.